So good you can be seated tonight. It is so good to be back. I told someone, I says, barring any emergency, I don't have anything going on until June. So that's of next year. So, first of all, I just want to start off tonight. We left to take my folks down to Texas to a family reunion last Sunday after, actually 2 weeks ago, now our Veterans Day, Sunday on November 6th. And I would like to take and thank all of those that helped and assisted. Brother and Sister Thompson oversaw our Veterans Day service. And I want to thank them for all of the work, the effort that they put in, as well as Brenda and Carl Rabine and Tim Powell and Norman Puckett and such. And we had a great service, lots of positive comments. We had a great trip to Texas and a great family reunion with the Smiths. It's kind of a little odd. Some of the cousins I haven't seen since I was 14 years old are now grandparents. And, of course, they probably looked at me and thought, oh, my goodness, what happened to you two? Because we all grow up, and then when we grow up, we kind of grow out. At least most of us do. Some of you are more fortunate. Brother Glenn Uselman just hasn't quite developed into growing out yet. He hasn't matured yet. That's what we call this now. I'm maturing. So around my middle. But it was great to spend a week with my aunt and uncle again. I told them, I said, I'm going to have to get a mailbox down here. I've been down here 5 weeks. Can you believe that's how many weeks I spent in Texas this year? 5 weeks down there. But it was good to spend some time with mom and dad as well, and to be able to take and to drive them down there. I was beginning to think as we left and as I came back, boy, a lot's changed in the world since in the last 2 weeks. And as I was beginning to think about all of this that's swirling around us, I'll begin to think the words of Jesus. And tonight I want to talk to you tonight. This isn't really a preaching message. I always say that and I end up preaching. So we'll see. But we're all in a race. I don't know. I've talked many times. I've preached about we're all in a battle. We're all in a spiritual battle. We'll touch a little bit of that tonight, but tonight I want to just, we're all in a race, and the title of my message is Focus on Your Race. You see, unfortunately, the race that I'm racing is different than a race that you're racing. There's no two people in here that are racing the same race. Just as each one of us are uniquely different in how God designed us, built us, and created us, we each have a different race. I may be having to deal with more things in my race, and perhaps you have to deal in your race, but nevertheless, we are all in a race. And Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 12 through 18, He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He's speaking of us here. For they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You see, church, whether we like it or not, we must remember that we are in this world. So what this is telling me as I read this scripture and kind of paraphrasing a bit, this means that the things of this world can have an impact on you and I. They can have an impact on us. They can impact how we think and why we think what we think. But we must understand that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And with that, I take great comfort. As verse 14 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are in a war, church. I have said this. I will continue to remind us, because I don't think some of us realize the importance and realize the battle that we are in. And whether we like it or not, we are in it. And it's a battle that is between good and evil, and our enemy is relentless. We are in a war between the good and evil, and whatever he will do to try to tear us down, discourage us, tempt us, he will try to defeat us. And we've spoken many times concerning this. Paul writes in Ephesians that we are fighting against the spirit. We are fighting against the spirit of this world. You see, the enemy, Satan, has had a very long time to work with humanity. He knows humanity from inside and out. He knows you and I. He watches us. He follows us. He likes to run to the throne and try to tell on us. You see, the enemy, he's relentless. We're fighting against the spirit. God has given us weapons to fight this war with, and yet as we fight this ongoing, never-ending war with our enemy, we must understand also that there's a race that is going on at the same time we are in this battle. So as the war against our flesh, we also war against our enemies. And as we war against our own flesh and we war against the enemy that comes against us, all while this is going on, we are racing towards a finished line. You see, this is why as we live out our days, the battle, it begins to intensify. I don't know how you feel in your spirit, but in my spirit, over the last few weeks, I feel that the battle has begun to intensify within the lives and the spirit for the soul of humanity. It grows stronger. As the battle intensifies, it goes stronger, and the enemy becomes more desperate as the moments pass by. We are in a race, church. So this is how can we endure when we ask ourselves, how are we going to endure to the end? How are we going to make it to the end of our race? As I begin to ponder all of this and begin to put some words down on paper, one thing came to my mind, and that is focus. Focus. Because you see, if the enemy can get us out of focus, if he can get us away from where God intends us to be, then he can begin to cause havoc and wreak havoc within our lives. You see, every one of us, as I said, we are in a race. You're in a battle. And your soul is what is at stake. It's not your checkbook. It's not your house. It's not your car. It's not your job. It's your soul that is being battled over. So, church, if we are to win this war, if we are to complete this race, we must stay focus. We will never survive if we allow all that is going on around us to become our focus. If we allow the things that are going on in this world to become what we are focused on, and we take our eyes off of where God desires us to be, we will begin to lose our race. You see, we cannot depend upon any particular man or any particular specific party to do the work that God has designed the church to do. It's not Washington's job to save the lost in this world. Winning the lost has always been and always will be the job of the church. And we must stay focused, church. We must stay in the race. We must continue to press forward and onward. We must stay focused, church, on only the things that matter most. There's so many things in this world that don't amount to a pile of pinto beans, and yet we get so engrossed up. As we continue to move forward in these most uncertain of times, here at Calvary Gospel Church, we have many, many new members as well as many new young leaders that are rising up within the church. And we have been given a vision from God, and our bishop has led us as far as he was physically able to take us. And if we are to continue in this vision, if we are to continue on this path, we must continue to do what God desires of us to do, as well as continue to do what we have been taught through the Word of God that we must do. We must continue to do what God desires of us to do, as well as what we've been taught to do, and a number of points that come to mind is what we must continue to focus on if we're to see continued revival and the vision that God has for us fulfilled in our lives and in our day. First, church, in order for us to continue to stay focused on what God wants us to stay focused on, we must have a spiritual hunger. You will never stay focused on God and the things of God and the Word of God if you do not have a spiritual hunger and a desire to stay focused and a desire for the things of God. I can see Jesus on the last day of the great feast in John 7:37, as he stood out and he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, if any man is thirsty, if any man is hungry, if any man desires anything to drink, let him come unto me and drink." As Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, he opened up with a saying in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Listen, church, if we're to stay focused and finish the race, we must have a spiritual hunger for the things of God. We as a church, we must hunger and thirst after what is right, not what after is politically correct or what the world says that we must do or not do. We must hunger and thirst after what is right. And we must be passionate about the Word of God. If you're not passionate about the Word of God, if you don't hunger, you're in trouble. Your race is at stake. It's vital for this church. It's vital for you and I as individuals to have a passion for God's Word and its power to transform not only our lives, but the lives of the people that come into this church. You see, it's this Word that is a foundation on which everything else we believe and teach is built upon. If we lose that desire as a church, if we lose that desire as a saint of God, if we lose that desire, then with that lost desire, we lose the spiritual power and authority that this Word gives to us. And if we lose that power, the power to transform the lives of people, then we serve no purpose. You see, every sermon that is preached over this pulpit must be rooted in a biblical truth. We must continue to preach and teach this great gospel. We must continue to offer Bible studies and resources to those within this congregation. And we must encourage one another to take a daily habit of reading the Bible and living the Holy Spirit to use its words to renew our minds. I gave to our ushers tonight for this next year, and they're going to pass this out as I continue to preach. It's the Word of God. It's the Bread Program, Bible reading enriches every day. And I want to challenge you. I want one of these per family. I don't know if we have one enough per individual, but if you could share these. And I want to take and encourage you to begin at the beginning of this next coming year to read your word every day. Pick up and whatever it is listed on the chart there to read, read the word of God. You see, in order for us to stay focused, church, it must start with a spiritual hunger. We also, church, must have a burning desire to see people go to heaven. We must make it a top priority to help people within our community and within this church learn more about heaven. I know as a Pentecostal pastor, as a preacher, I begin to think back, when is the last time I have preached or I've heard a message preached about heaven? We love to talk about hell, and we love to talk about all the pitfalls and the torment and all of this and that, but what about heaven? Is this not where we all desire to spend eternity? I feel as a church, we spend a lot of time trying to get people saved, but we spend little or no time even talking about the rewards of that salvation. Heaven is a great motivator. We need to motivate ourselves. We need to evangelize so that the people we love here on earth can spend eternity with us in heaven. I think sometimes as a church, we can become desensitized. We become desensitized to the things that are around us, and we become desensitized to the world. And if we're not careful, if we lose our focus, and listen to me on this next point, we can also become desensitized to sin. And as a result, we have become or will become desensitized to the sinners. Have you ever said, well, that person, man, I've worked with them and worked with them. I've done everything I know to do. They're just a lost cause. I know as of late I've been frustrated by the actions of some folks. And I've said, well, God, if they don't care, why should I care? And I said it more than once. I said it a few times. And I said, you know, I want to stop wasting my time. If they don't care about their soul, why should I care about their soul? And God just gave me a swift rebuke. And he said, listen, when sinful people seem like lost causes to us, then perhaps we have become the lost cause, not them. Because when we stop caring, when we stop caring about the lost, we're in danger of losing our focus and losing out in our race. You see, we need to pray that God would give us his perspective. There's our perspective on things, and we become tired and we become frustrated. And we need to look at individuals as God would look at them. We need to look at them and see the spiritual potential that they have, and we need to expect God to do great lives in the works of all people. Not just you and I, not just the leaders, not just the members of this congregation, but God desires to do a great work in the lives of every individual alive on this planet today. Even those who may at times appear hopeless to us, if we trust God enough to pray for them and reach out to them. Which leads into my next point. We need to be optimistic and we need to be confident. Listen, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Okay, I am confident in my God. I'm confident that my God can do what he says he will do. Listen, if God himself has saved us, he sanctified us, he's keeping us, he's loving us, he has patience with us, he's protecting us. Listen, don't be discouraged when you or I or someone you're working with makes mistakes and they fail in their life or you fail in your ministry work. Remember that God's strength is more than enough to help you and I in the deepest of our weaknesses. We need to ask God to empower us whenever we need his help and look forward to what he will do. I think so many times we try just so hard to do everything on our own. And that is when we become most frustrated because God is saying, let me help. Let me fight this battle. This battle is mine. And we need to celebrate the victories. So many times we spend more time talking about the broken down ills of humanity and we spend very little time talking about the victories that God has brought to you and I. We need to stay focused on the value of the Great Commission. You see, we must continue to and emphasize the importance of evangelism. We as a congregation, we must learn how to share our faith effectively with the unsaved friends, family members, and co-workers, and those that live around us and that we brush shoulders with every day. We must be able and willing to share this gospel, and we must take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to share this gospel message with others. See, Jesus spoke to his disciples in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's strong enough words right now, the church, if we don't stay focused and we don't pay attention and we don't fulfill what God has called us to do. You see, this is why we as a church, this is why the church exists. We exist and we must stay focused on baptizing, teaching, and making disciples. At our district conference, I couldn't even remember if it was this past March or April or if it was last year again, Brother Gleason. Was it last year or was that this year? So much time has passed between now and then. But anyway, Brother Gleason was at our Wisconsin Ministers Conference within the last few years. And he was reading the scripture there in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And he said, go ye therefore and teach. Go ye therefore and teach. Now you look at the word teach here. The King James is one of the only few translations that actually uses the word teach. I looked it up in every translation that I looked at in the long list of what I have. It said, go ye therefore into all nations and make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. Church, we must continue and keep focusing on making disciples. When we stop making disciples, we stop the growth process that feeds new life into the body. And churches that don't make disciples die. It's that simple. Understand something, that the world needs the church. But the church can't survive without the world. We have to have the world in order to survive, because that's where the disciples come in. That's where we all came from. We must stay focused on baptizing, teaching, and making disciples. We got to keep reaching out to more people in our community and doing all we can do as a congregation to introduce people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then equipping them to begin their new lives as Christians as well. We must help people grow in their faith and help people grow in our church and grow to become strong disciples of Jesus Christ, not just strong members of Calvary Gospel Church. Disciples who are growing by how they incorporate the Bible, how they incorporate fellowship, worship, prayer, and witnessing into their lives. We need to encourage people to develop the character traits that Jesus modeled during his time here on earth and discover and fulfill his unique purpose for their lives. There's nothing more frustrating than living a life that has no purpose. And Jesus Christ has a purpose for each and every one of them. Of us. We must send people out of this church to teach the gospel to others. Keep in mind that a true Christian disciple is called to be taught and then taught to be sent. God didn't call us to just sit. He called us to be taught, and then he taught us to be sent. That was his model in his disciples. So once we become or develop strong disciples in the church, we must send them out into the world, out into our cities, into our towns, into our neighborhoods to do what? Not to condemn, not to try to tell them what they're doing wrong, not to try to take and look down on them, but to teach them about Jesus Christ and introduce them to Jesus Christ. We spoke a little bit of this on earlier points, but I feel that it's probably merit to have a point or a focus on all of its own, and that's the value of good, solid, biblical preaching. Listen, when a church loses its focus, I've seen this happen in progression of pastors and people that I have known over the years. When you lose the value of biblical preaching, when you stop focusing on preaching out of the Word of God and your preaching becomes social, we got to make sure that the preaching at our church is marked by repentance, which leads to salvation. Our salvation message is very important, yet we cannot just stay on this point. Salvation is a starting point to the oneness, the holiness, and living a godly lifestyle. And this all ties back in with discipleship. And yes, we need a sense of mission, and we need to preach it with enthusiasm. We need to preach it. We need to love it. We need to teach who Jesus Christ was, why he came into this earth. We're coming on the Christmas season. He didn't just come here so we could have presents. He came here with a message of mankind to redeem mankind in his sinful condition. We need to teach, we need to preach the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers. We need to help people connect with God through our living worship. Living worship is worship that is alive. We must focus, Sister Vicky, our music and our worship services with these principles in mind. Living worship, it's not about some prop or some special lights or smoke. It's about powerful living worship, and it's all about one person. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him. It's not about me, and it's not about how I sound. It's about him. Living worship takes place in the context of what I would say just real life events. events that when people come to, things that they may be struggling in their life with, and they come in and they feel that power of the Holy Ghost. And they begin to relate to the song as the words go forth. As we were having our worship during our Veterans Day program, it was a little bit more upbeat this year in our worship. And I began to watch out across the congregation as all of the guests were here. And I began to watch as we raised our hands and began to worship. They began to raise their hands and begin to worship. You see, it wasn't Veterans Day that they were feeling. It wasn't a strong sense of patriotism, but it was the power of the Holy Ghost as it began to flow through this facility. They could feel something. One of the ladies came up to me and asked me, I was just shaking hands, and asked me if I was the pastor here. And I said, I'm the senior pastor, one of many of our pastors. And she said, can I just have a minute of your time? So we sat down right over where Brother Bryce and they're sitting tonight. And she began to share with me. She says, I came in here and I want to thank you so very much for your worship service. She said, I have struggled for over 20 years to get my father to come to my church. She said, I attend a church in Janesville. She said, we're very much believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and very worship. We have a lot of worship. When I walked in here and I began to feel the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit as it began to flow, she said, I looked over at my father and he was weeping. Tears were flowing down his cheeks. And he tries to say it's because it's a good Veterans Day service. But she says, I know what it is. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that he's feeling. He won't come to my church. He refuses to go to any other church. But this church, and he will only come to the Veterans Day service. So listen, I'm believing that in one of our Veterans Day services, the power of the Holy Ghost will just become unleashed. And what people feel is a sense of strong patriotism is an outfilling, outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But you see, that would not happen if we didn't stay focused on worship and true worship to Jesus Christ. I believe that living worship requires a faith when people aren't just going through the motions, but instead they're yielding their lives to Jesus Christ and seeking his will rather than their own. Living worship must be grounded in the living word of God. And living worship leads to a living Lord by helping people connect with Jesus Christ. We must continue. If we're going to stay focused on our race, Calvary Gospel Church, we must continue to focus on making our church a place of loving fellowship. You see, there's so much division in our world today. There's so much hatred. There's so much bitterness. There's so much just tension in the world. I just want to make a statement. What stays in the world or what happens in the world, leave it in the world. Don't bring it in here. You see, when the church brings all of that in here with them, then we bring all of that baggage in. The people that need to feel Jesus Christ can't feel him because we're so caught up in what's going on out there. And we bring it all in here and we pollute the atmosphere to where God can't move and God desires not to move. Paul, in his final words, as he prays for the leadership of the church in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. So here Paul is. He's in a Roman prison. He's in prison. And the way that culture now is trending in many places in our world to preach sin and repentance. Even in our own country may soon be hate speech. And I don't know if it'll happen in 5 years or in 25 years. It doesn't matter, but I doubt preaching the gospel won't get you in prison. Eventually, if things continue that the way they are, and I may declare here boldly that I want to speak, I desire to speak as God would have me to speak. Pray for me that I would not back down and our leadership would not back down, that we would stay focused. I don't want to calm down. I don't want to have a soothing calming. I want to feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost as it flows through me and through this church. Pray for me. Pray for us, church, that we would not give up. We would continue to focus. Paul also says to pray for peace. Pray for peace. You know what peace is? You know what peace is in our church? Let me give you a definition of what peace is not. There's nothing worse than one soldier of the gospel shooting at another soldier, and nothing worse than one soldier shooting down another soldier, and we turn our guns, so to speak, on each other. That's what happens when you lose the peace and you lose the unity in the church. You begin to shoot at one another. We become, basically, we become tools or soldiers of the enemy. You see, we don't need to turn on one another. We don't need to gossip about one another. We don't need to become embittered against one another. We don't need to despise one another or attack one another or criticize one another. Satan and his demonic spirits, they do a good enough job of that already, and they don't need to hear it from someone that's supposed to be willing to lay down their life for them. The enemy's role is filled. We don't need members of Calvary Gospel Church to join them. So in order for us to stay focused, we must pray for peace in our church. Pray for peace between our leaders and peace between our ministries and peace between all of our outreaches and all of our locations and where we reach out to. We must welcome people to our church. And we must give them a sense of belonging and a place to belong. We must focus on making our church a haven of hospitality. We just talked about this past week in our staff meeting about a lived-in house. Years ago, I had preached a message that was along those topic lines because I got tired of always cleaning up after messes after every service. Brother Rick knows all about that. Brother Dave knows all about that. You go through and you just clean up after people. But listen, I'd rather come in here on a Monday morning and have leaves all scattered through the vestibule because people track them in from outside than come into a pristine environment with no clutter, no dust, no nothing, and have no power or can't feel the power in the presence of an almighty God. We must welcome people and make our church a haven of hospitality, and we must be willing. Listen here, we must be willing to meet people where they are, not where we are expecting them to be. And we need to help them grow from that point forward. We must be willing, we must help create and receive courage and strength from God when they come to church, and we must encourage them to celebrate through thanksgiving and through worship and through praise. We must continue to encourage and equip people within Calvary Gospel Church to become the hands and the hearts of Jesus Christ for a world that's in need of showing others the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in more than just ones in spiritual ways, but also in tangible ways. You see, we live in a world where that some churches, everything is about the tangible. We need to have a balance between the spirit and between the tangible. That's why we have our Thanksgiving meal coming up on this Thursday, and I'm so thankful for all of those that have volunteered in this effort. One thing you know I love food. You all know that. I only mentioned food one time. I said pinto beans so far in this message. I don't know if any of you picked up on that, but we were at our family reunion, and boy, I'm here to tell you, my aunt made some delicious pinto beans. And then she had this sweet pear relish. I don't know if any of you had. I'm really going south right now, really bad. Okay, we can take a little time out, can't we? Is that all right? We have a few-minute message from our sponsor. How's that? We can do that, can't we? Our first commercial break officially. This is our first commercial. You talk about fried chicken. Nobody can cook fried chicken like my Aunt Charlotte. Boy, I'm here to tell you. My mom makes good fried chicken, but I haven't had mom's fried chicken in years. And I think they go to Kentucky Fried or Culver's now. But man, it was so good. It was so good. We stopped at a Dodge. It was called, the name of the gas station is called Dodge's. Yeah, they got some fantastic chicken. If you ever go there, they always got fresh hot chicken. And boy, it was good. They even had livers and gizzards. I came this close to buying Bishop a bag of lizards and gizzards because I know some of you old folk would know. Maybe I shouldn't say old folk. Some of you aging, some of you maturing individuals. There we go. I got to get out of this one. Yeah. So anyway, my wife and I were planning on, I think we got 8 turkeys that we're cooking for our Thanksgiving meal here. And I enjoy doing that. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. But I'm just so thankful that I'm able to take and do this to help my brothers and sisters, as well as people that I don't even know, that I may never meet other than this Thanksgiving, and I may never meet them again, but I can take within that hour or two period that they're here, and we can show them what Jesus Christ was like when he broke the bread, when he fed the 5,000. He knew in order to be able to minister to the crowd, they were getting hungry, he had to feed them. And here we are, we have people coming in that are hungry, and we're going to feed them and minister to them. Church, we need to continue to look for the specific opportunities that God is presenting to this church for us to take action on, and how he's leading us as we move forward. I want to also to stay focused. I'm so thankful for our prayer ministry. I was not able to make every prayer meeting this past year. Our last prayer meeting, last Friday night, we were in Texas. We must continue to focus on a strong prayer ministry. And I want to challenge Brother Blake, George, and Brother Glenn Usewin, and Sister Linda Brown, to continue leading this church in powerful prayer. You see, if we're going to stay focused on the race that is set before us, we cannot lose our focus when it comes to prayer. We must continue to focus. If something needs to be cut out of our schedule, it will not be prayer. We must make prayer a top priority of this church. We must talk about its importance during sermons. And I'm looking forward next year to be able to take and add a scheduled regular time for just our church leaders to get together and to pray for the direction of our congregation. And I want to encourage the people of our congregation to pray with each other and pray with each other often when the prayer requests are read out over the service, and we just listen to them and we repeat after whoever's emceeing the prayer and such. Let's remember those requests and pray for those families within the next week. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray often and whenever we can. We need to develop a church prayer ministry that recognizes, or to continue to develop a church prayer ministry that recognizes that people need Jesus Christ to be a mediator and an intercessor for them. A prayer ministry that directs people to Jesus. Listen, a prayer, if it is taken seriously, it will lead to a whole lot fewer issues that we have with one another. I don't know, Bishop of a family that prays together, they earnestly pray together. They stay together. You wonder why you have problems? Do you pray together? Do you pray with your wife? Do you pray with your children? Prayer, if taken seriously, will lead to fewer issues that we have with one another, and it will lead people to expect the best from God. You see, you develop a relationship with God. It ushers God's power into the lives of people in need, and it transforms the lives of those who are praying. You see, church, Jesus said in the last days, he said that perilous times would come. And we are in those times right now. I want our musicians to come, and if you could stand to your feet. You see, we cannot afford, church, to sit back and relax and wait for the return of Jesus Christ. We must stay focused. We must keep fighting the fight. We must keep running the race until we are called home in the clouds of glory. I don't know about you tonight, but at times, I just admit, I just grow weary. I grow weary. I grow tired. I sometimes get short, get sharp with people, and I go home and I feel terrible, and I ask the Lord, forgive me, God, for being short with individuals, but I'm just tired, Lord. Galatians 6:9, Paul writes, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You see, we can grow tired trying to do the work of God. Staying focused, it takes it out of you. You look at football games and you look at baseball, and of course the Cubs just won the World Series as Brother Rixel brought to our attention, but you know how they won it? It wasn't because they had better talent. They stayed focused. They stayed focused. Church, it doesn't take talent to get us to where we need to go. It takes focus. We have to be focused, church. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If I could just kind of reread this a little bit to apply. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we continue to stay focused. So tonight, as our praise team begins to sing, I want to open up this altar down here. just want us to just find a place to pray tonight. Can we do that? If you want to go back to the altar. The enemy has just got you stretched one way